Let's do some scripture. Okay. So he just finished talking about horses and yaks and cows, oxen. What? Why? Yeah, each one can carry a different size load. So you should try to undertake whatever study you have the capacity to do, whether it's extensive study or briefer study, you should try. And we've been talking about the benefits of formal spiritual study. You can be a natural, right? What we call a natural, like football player, or a natural singer. You can have a very beautiful voice, or you can draw nicely, right? The point is that you take a person who has raw talent, and then you train them, like a boxer, something like that. Like you get a very, very good boxer, or you get a very, very good singer. Like Mercedes has a beautiful voice, but she works on her voice, okay? She does Skype once a week with an opera singer in Australia, okay? And they work on, you take raw talent, and you take talent which is already professional quality. Then you throw them in with a master. And then you get a master. And not just a good singer or a good artist, you get a master. Out of that process, you get a master. So he's been saying, most of the people in this room have some kind of spiritual raw talent, right? Or you wouldn't be here. And then you have to train that talent. You have to hone that talent under the guidance of a really qualified teacher, whatever you decide to do. Okay? Which brings me to Nelama, okay? Anybody want to define Nelama for me? Take a shot, Jeff, Val?
Your surrogate mother or father.
He said surrogate mother or father. How about you, Mercedes?
It's a person who is an intermediary between you and Nelama to take some heat off the Nelama. And necessarily always deal with like little problems. So it's somebody like a big sister to help you, but your dad isn't always available.
Okay, that's not too bad. Name means local, okay? This is a Vinaya word. This comes from the monks tradition, right? And name means local. And then lama means lama, right? So ne lama, in the Vinaya, you are required to have they have it in AA, right? What do they call it?
Sponsor.
A sponsor, right? In AA, they have a sponsor. So it's not like AA has, three big shots at each centered where they have AA, right? AA doesn't work that way. In AA, you have a person who's another person in AA who says, I'll take responsibility for this person, you know? If they decide at 2 o'clock in the morning that they're in danger of taking a drink, they can call me at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I don't mind. I take on that responsibility. I think that's why AA has the highest success rate in the world for treating people with that addiction, okay? Because they encourage people to help other people with the same addiction, right? And that's how the system works. So in the monastery, it's very similar. You have your scripture lama, you have the lamas, you have the Kimbo, you have the monks who are running the monastery, you have the major teachers in the monastery, who teach hundreds of students, right? And then you have your Nelama. You are required as a monk to have a Nelama. You're not allowed to not have a Nelama. So Nelama means someone you can call when you have a crisis, because you can't always get a hold of the abbot, or that teacher might be in a room with a couple hundred students, and you can't call them and say, I'm depressed today. You know, it's not going to happen. It won't work for you. And then it also overburdens those people. They have, you know, they can't deal with 5,000 people writing them an email and saying, I don't feel happy today. I had a fight with my husband today. You know, how many can you answer responsibly? You see, it's like a doctor. You know, how many heart surgeries can you do in a day before you start to make mistakes? Or you neglect somebody and then something really bad happens. Like somebody commits suicide because you didn't email them back in time. It happened to my brother. and the doctor was too busy, and he killed himself.
Okay.
Like, he called the doctor was too busy. And so I don't want to be in that situation. We had a system called Nei Lama, and it was going quite well. And it kind of, I don't know what happened. A lot of Nei Lamas went into three-year retreat. So in the monastery, when your Lama goes into a three-year retreat, you're required to find a new Nei Lama within 24 hours. Okay? You are required to find a new Nei Lama. So I encourage you all, I need someone, we can start with Jingmei, but anybody who kind of want to oversee that Nei Lama program, sure you have time? Alright, so anyway, there used to be a spreadsheet with everybody's Nei Lama and the Nei Lama's email and the Nei Lama's telephone number, and then if the Nei Lami, we haven't figured out a name for the Nei Lami, if they had a problem, and like if they got in a car accident or something, Geshe Michael was in Tokyo, and then their Nei Lama got a phone call, or, you know, like that. So I'd like to start that system again, alright? So maybe we could start with an email to the participants in this program and say, can you divulge to us who your Nei Lama is, how we can get a hold of them if something happens to you, okay? Or if you have a crisis or something, you need something really bad. Somebody was in the hospital with somebody has suddenly had a kidney stone, and, you know, then there should be a Nei Lama system where they get care, and somebody wrote me an email in Tokyo at 4 a.m., you know, I can't do anything. So, and I don't have capacity. I can't deal with thousands of, you know, I don't want to pull a, what do you call it, Lama Sopa, you know, where he just, he had a stroke, you know. So I think I have to take care of my health and my sanity, and I also don't want to be the doctor who tried to do three heart surgeries in the same day and messed up one because he was tired or didn't have time. So I'd like to make sure we get the Nei Lama system going again. Okay, so then you'll get an email from Becky that says, you know, do you have a Nei Lama? What's their email? What's their phone number? And we had a rule that nobody could have more than 12 people that they are serving as Nei Lama. Okay, so pick the people who are asked to be Nei Lamas, they have to be careful not to take on too many. Okay, we're going to set it at 12. So you approach Ron Hagerty and say, can you be my Nei Lama? And he said, I'm already up to 12. Then maybe one of my students, one of the 12 that I have, I consider good quality for Nei Lama for you. And then it's like a Amway thing. Okay. No, really, we need it. We need it. To take care of people, we need it. Okay. Otherwise, it's just like hundreds of emails clogging up a few people's emails who don't have time. And they'll miss somebody. And then there'll be something bad happen. Okay? So, alright. Maybe we'll have some class. Let's see. Unkyang, Gedin Chitar Yang Gosh, Go, Shingin Tenso Ne, Juk Ne, Juk Milope Sunjuki Parla Mikor de Kang Chang Chasan Shing Nepar Go. He's saying, look, you could undertake the 18 ACI courses. You could do the Dharma Essentials courses that Nama Maru put together from the ACI courses. Or you could do the Lan Rin courses. But he says, whether you do a medium length thing or an extensive thing or a shorter thing, it must contain all the topics. Okay? It must contain all the topics. It can be a short version of all the topics, or a medium version of all the topics, or an extended version of all the topics, but you need all the topics, right? Nikor Gashik Shintugeba Shekyan Nikor Matsangwe Kangdang. There's some carving problems here. Tongna Berna Shakche Tabu. Okay, so he says, but it would be a problem if you only concentrated on some subjects at the, what do you call it? At the expense on other topics, okay? And what he's saying is that he's discouraging you from getting very strong in one topic and ignoring another topic. They need sort of equal depth. The depth can be less, the depth can be medium, or the depth can be huge. But it should be equal across all the topics, okay? You shouldn't like, and you see it, I kind of see it developing in our group in a small way. Like at Diamond Mountain, we concentrated so much on emptiness and on the secret teachings that I think we got a little bit unbalanced. You know? It's like people had a big right muscle, but the left muscle was small, and it doesn't look nice. Okay, like they should be kind of equal, okay? So you have to take the major subjects, compassion, meditation, yoga, ethics, an understanding of emptiness, and cowboy music. And they should all be pretty well represented in relative strengths, okay? You shouldn't be like spending all your time on discussing the fine points of emptiness and never talking about ethics. Or like that, okay? You need a nice balance. You have to be balanced, okay? And you have to watch yourself and not get obsessive with some things and then, what do you call it? Anemic and eat other things, okay? Mm-hmm. Let's go ahead. For example, if you had three beds but no pants, that would be a problem. Right? You should have at least one bed and one pair of pants. I'm talking gods mostly. Okay. Or you've got a whole, what do you call it, walk-in closet with Calvin Klein stuff, and you don't have a bed. Okay. So you should have, you know, what you should have the amount that you need in each topic. Okay. And you shouldn't have zero in some topics and like 3,000 in the other topics. Chatsana, Tepa Gya Che Chung Jinta Yang Lam Dun Nipani. If the topics are all complete in whichever depth you choose to go, okay, you can choose Lamin, you can choose Dharma Essentials, you can choose ACI courses, you can choose ACI courses plus Tantra courses, right? You can go crazy, right? But you should have a well-balanced spread. Whether you choose to go deep or less deep, you should still have a good spread, all right? Devin Kaki Shakchetan Drakyangi Shakchetan Ranlatap Michapa Shinon. Then he says, you know, if you take a monk whose cell is well appointed, right? Meaning what? It's got a yoga mat, it's got a meditation cushion, it's got a simple little pallet bed, it's got an altar, right? That's all. And two sets of robes, that's what you're allowed to have, right? And that's enough. For them, that's well appointed. Then he says, if you're a prince, then you should also be well appointed as a prince. Okay? That's someone who did the whole ACI courses, is the prince. The monk in this case is like someone who slept through the 14 verses of the Lamrim. Okay, got it? But you need it. You should have everything that a prince should have, or you should have everything that a monk should have. But the monk's room shouldn't lack a meditation cushion, and the prince's quarters shouldn't lack 34 sofas. Okay? Alright. We should all be princes and princesses. Some of you already are. Okay. Tap me chakashima. Nipa chodan chumawala rindojita kepa ni signing the donge. Now we get to the main subject, okay? So obviously we're going to cover most of it in press card. Okay? So here we go. Here's the main subject that I was hoping you would all hear. But guessing like it went too slow. Nipa Chodachima, how do we properly take a class, right? What is proper comportment in a class? What's the etiquette for learning and for teaching the Holy Dhamma? Okay? What's the proper etiquette for that? Okay? Signing with Dole, he quotes a sutra called Shiti Garba, right? The essence of earth. It's a bodhisattva's name. Chintu Dejin Kurbe Chinyin Ki Dela Chashin Kurwa Mi Chao Chima Wala Chipa Chawani Sangye Tower Dela Dushe Ke. I'll translate the quotation, but then I'll explain it, okay? He'll explain it. Chintu De. You must have unwavering, you must have single-pointed devotion to whoever you choose as a teacher. I'm not saying me, okay? I'm teaching this subject because it came in the long run. I'm not teaching it because I want all your money or something like that, okay? You have to find your own personal teacher. It could be me, it could not be me, it could be somebody else. It's up to you. I'm just going to teach you the etiquette. I'm not hinting that you should apply the etiquette first to myself. Okay. Mainly I'm hoping that my grandchildren will learn the etiquette and my kids don't have to explain to their my grandchildren the etiquette, because that would look self-serving by my kids. Okay. So mainly I'm trying to educate my grandkids that they should respect their teachers like they would any Tibetan lama. Okay? Like that. Because that's the name of the game. Okay. Kupe Chunyan Ki, you should listen with respect, you should listen with honor. Dela Chashin Kuramajam, you should never criticize your teacher or speak badly of them. Chun Mawala Chapajani, you should make offerings to your particular teachers, okay? Sangye Dara Dela Dushake, and you should think of them as an enlightened being, alright? Now that starts probably a 2-year subject for us, okay? Because the first section of the Lamrim is how to behave around the teacher. And we are totally ignorant of it in the United States. We don't have that system in the United States. And it's a beautiful, fulfilling, happy system. Okay, it's not some like cult guru thing. It's not like that. To have a personal relationship with a true master, such as Kung Fu Panda had, or the Karate Kid. There is such a thing, and it's beautiful. Okay, it's just really, really beautiful. Are there people who abuse the holy union of marriage? Yes. How many? Half of the people in America get divorced, right? Does that mean that marriage is not a holy institution or a very beautiful thing? No, if you do it properly, it's a very beautiful thing, right? There have been abuses by gurus. People set themselves up as gurus, and there have been abuses. And gurus can be tough, right? But there are also countless cases of extremely sweet, wonderful marriages. Right? It's not like they should outlaw marriage because half the people in the United States get divorced. Marriage is a beautiful institution if it is done correctly. Okay. So to be under the guidance of a master, the personal guidance of someone who's qualified, and to engage in that relationship with them is the most beautiful relationship in the world, I think. You know? And I've lived most of my life under really tough lamas, personally living with really hard, nailed, tough lamas. And I'm really grateful. And I don't think there's anything that makes you happier in the world than to be with a real master. Okay? And I encourage you to think of it that way. I'm not saying you go out and find some cult guru and you kill chickens for them. Or I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you meet a real master. It could be a yoga master. It could be a meditation master. It could be someone who's good at Spanish language, it doesn't matter. But to engage in a master-disciple relationship, if you miss it in this life, it's almost like you've missed a relationship with someone of the opposite sex. You see what I mean? You've never had those emotions or that joy or known what a beautiful thing it is. Okay. It's a, to me, the most beautiful relationship there is in and it's extremely, makes you extremely happy, okay? If it's done properly from the teacher side and from the student side. Okay. And it can be, and it, and you can do it. Okay. Sangye Dardashin Dedekin. Jai Sambhatar Tumba Sangye Lakhapa Dangrim Dochi Tarkipa Dandrawar Che Mama Lakurti Dandrawar Che Gur. So he's saying you should respect your personal teacher, whoever is your heart teacher, okay? I'm not saying me. I'm saying, again, the whole conversation is relevant. I'm talking to my grandkids, okay? And you all have students, you all have teachers that perhaps I have trained. But how should you behave towards those teachers? What he says here, he gives the example of the Buddha. I would give the example of the Dalai Lama, the current, His Holiness, the current Dalai Lama, the greatest of the Dalai Lamas who has ever lived, okay? Why would you treat your personal Dharma teacher differently from the Dalai Lama? You see what I mean? You know, if the Dalai Lama says he's coming to your house, right? You'd probably vacuum. Right? I do. You know, I mean, when my teacher comes, I fight with it. You see, like, I'm busy. I have emails piling up. I have people all over the world are demanding things from me. Hundreds of people. And then Lama says, I'm coming over this afternoon. You know? And then I'm like, okay. And I drop everything. And I get up early, I clean the house, I wash myself, I cut the trees, you know, I wear a good shirt, I change, you know, I get out of my yoga clothes for the first time in a week. And I go to Julia Child, I get my Julia Child, I'm like, oh God, what's a short recipe? You know, and then I call Jinmei or Ningbo and Mercy and say, where do you get orange blossom lotion, you know, what do you call it? Tonic to put in a recipe. And then they take off. They're like the assistants of the assistant, right? And they take off to find some rare spice in Cottonwood, Arizona. Or Anatole, then, you know, they did the last one, I think. What was that? What was the recipe? I don't remember. Anyway. It was an exotic recipe. And we didn't find everything, but I faked it and it worked good. Why would you treat your teacher less than the Dalai Lama? The Dalai Lama is not going to come and teach you personally. Your personal teacher is therefore, according to the scriptures, is more important for you than the Dalai Lama. And you should take more care to honor them than you do the Dalai Lama. If the Dalai Lama came to your house, it wouldn't be as important as if the teacher who's teaching you ACI Course 1 came to your house. And you should think that way, you see? The more you invest in your relationship to your teacher, the more teaching happens, the deeper the teaching goes. If you short them, you know, you say, I'll run out and get... I'll run out the Safeway and buy a cake, right? Or I don't need to grow flowers. I grow flowers just to have flowers on hand for Lama when Lama comes, right? I take care of the garden all year, so I'll have very fresh flowers when Lama comes. So don't go out to Safeway and buy a cake in a plastic box, okay? And make a cake, okay, with your own hands. And clean the house and make it beautiful. And put out beautiful flowers, right? And get ready for them. I never ask Lama what time. See, I say, I'll be here, I'll be ready, you know? I get up super early and I'm ready. And sometimes I sit there all day. And they call and they say, I'm coming tomorrow. Then I have to throw out the beef bourguignon and start something else. Alright, so why would you treat them less than the Dalai Lama? Right? So if you have that viewpoint of them, then when they come and teach you, amazing things will happen. If you buy a plastic, you know those cheap, crummy plastic things that they put Safeway chocolate cakes in, right? Then you'll get a teaching which is Safeway crummy chocolate cake, okay? Because that's where it comes from, right? So the more you honor your teacher, the better. People, you know, and you have to let people know the score, you see, or you have to ask your grandfather to do it, okay? Can you teach my students that if they offer me stale Safeway chocolate cakes, the teaching won't come through as well, okay? The teaching won't come through as well, right? They won't get it. The transmission won't be as powerful, okay? If you really honor your teacher, and then the teaching changes, alright? The way the teaching comes through changes. Okay? It's not like they're gonna be offended. They didn't get a nice cake from you. They probably can't eat cake anyway. Okay? It's not for them, okay? Don't ever think that, okay? They don't need anything, alright? If they're a good lama, they have a good practice, they can stay home, they can do their yoga, they can do their meditation, they can work on their own things, they have lots of things to do. You know, it's not like they need a pile of 30 pounds of flowers to drive home and wrap up in a garbage bag and throw out this morning. You know, it's for us, okay? It's for us. It's for the transmission. The transmission of the long room cannot happen properly to a person who is not respectful. And I personally just avoid those people. I don't teach people like that. They ask me, I say I'm busy, I say I can't get there, or, you know, because it won't work anyway, okay? Nothing will be transmitted. And I don't like to get them upset or angry, I make up something, and I can't make it this month or something, you know, because they're not going to listen anyway, then they'll get upset and then they'll be worse, right? So. Jason the Pantu Sunday. Changsale, Kuni Yomo Bamepa Dan, Ninga Yami Chepa Dan, Nyen Gopar Sungbe, Dela Kemba Dan Dawani, Dusu Nyen Dan, Gurti Chepa Dan, Sishu Chepa Dan, Michoa Dan, Jason Dupa Dan. Lenka Mitsunva Dan Chuki Nyambarsu. So we'll just do a few minutes, and then I think it's good luck to end in the middle of this subject, okay? Which goes on infinitely anyway. Changsa is the lovers of the Bodhisattvas, written by Master Asanga in the 4th century or so, okay? This particular book was not considered dictation from my trip. This is a book he wrote on his own. Okay. Kune nyomoma meba dan, nenga yina micheba. He's talking about how to take a teaching. Okay? The proper way to take a teaching. Okay? I teach this every 15 years or so. Okay? It cycles every 15 years or so. Okay? And we've reached this subject, and it's important for everybody. So, try to pass it on to your grandkids. Alright? I have great grandkids. I think I have great great grandkids now. It sort of makes me feel old. Kune nyomomba mepadam. You should listen without any negative thoughts. Nenga yilami chepa. There are 5 different kinds of attitudes you should avoid while taking a teaching. Okay? Guparsu. Nyengu parsu. Dela Kengba Dan Tawani. So he's going to go through the etiquette, the mental etiquette for taking a teaching. The first one is called Kengba Dan Jawa. Kengba Dan Jawa means you should take the teaching with humility. Okay? You should take the teaching with humility. And that has six different, there are six different topics in the subject of humility, okay? On the behalf, on the disciple's side. We'll get to humility on the teacher's side also, right? So here we go. Dunsen Nyamba, you should ask for teaching at the proper time, when it's convenient for the teacher. Okay? I don't tell, my mama thinks I don't have anything else to do. They don't have any clue of what I'm doing. I say, I'm available. Just call me. And that's all. That's the number one priority. And everything else comes after that. I just say, I'm available. I don't ask what time they're coming. I don't ask what days they need me. I'm just available. If I get a call, I drop everything and I go immediately. You know? So, Dusun Yama means they set the time. They decide the time. You don't send them a list of dates which is okay for them to come to your place like that. Okay? You say, please come when it's convenient for you. Okay? If you want to teach me. Okay? Dusun Yama, Kotichepa means honor them properly. We'll get to it. We'll get to what they mean. Sishichepa means sort of like pamper them, okay? Matroa means never get mentally afflicted around them, never get upset around them. We'll talk about it. Jesudrupa means practice what they ask. And then Lenga Mitsuwa means don't get argumentative towards them. Don't contradict them. Okay? Jason, Tuki Nyambasam. These are six qualities with which we should listen to a teacher's instruction. Okay? And again, I'm not saying it for me. I'm saying it for your students. Okay? I have sent an email out last week asking my students who are teaching to ask my grandchildren to tune into this. Because I want them to teach my students properly. Okay, it's too late for me. Just kidding. Okay. De Dhammo Dusun Nyamba. What does it mean to ask for teaching at the proper time? What does timing mean with a lama? Okay, timing is number one. We're gonna have six subjects. We'll probably only cover one. And that's timing. The first one is timing of the teaching. Lama tukde shing tukjang meba sotan tene. You request a teaching and you say to the Lama, I'm free anytime. You decide when to teach, okay? When, where, and when you say, for as long as you say, we'll have the teaching, okay? I don't know anything. I'm asking for a teaching. I'm asking for this extraordinarily precious, pure lineage of 100 generations, unbroken for 100 generations. I would like the honor of being the next person in the generation. I would love to be the next link in the lineage. I want to join the lineage, and I want to carry it on. And in any place or time which is convenient for you, I would be honored to And I'm available. I don't care where it is. I don't care when it is. You tell me, I'll be there. I'll be there early. And I'll stay after and clean up the chairs. Okay? Got that? Now it took day. Tukjang Mepa, when the Lama is not already busy with other projects or commitments that they have. Okay? Don't push a Lama who has already sold that time. Okay, like then let go of it. You know, the Lama says, look, I can't, you know, I have a meeting today, I can't talk to you. It's just 30 seconds, Geshe-la. I have a meeting. You know, I'm late for the meeting. Okay? It doesn't mean don't ask, okay? I lived next door to Trijang Rinpoche for 6 months. I lived less than 100 yards from Trijang Rinpoche for 6 months. In the final years of his life, okay? And I never went to his house. And I never asked him for a teaching. Okay? The person who wrote down this book, the Dalai Lama's teacher, right? And, because I didn't want to bother him. Because all these hippies were running over there and banging on his door, and I said, you know, I don't want to bother him. I think it's improper to bother him, you know. Then he passed away. Then I told Ken Rinpoche, you know, he said, where did you stay when you were in Dharamsala? I said, I live next to Jujun Rinpoche. And he said, so, you know, how many times did you meet him? And I said, I didn't meet him. I didn't want to bother him. And he flew into a rage. He got very angry. And he said, you're crazy. You are a fool. You should have gone over and tried. Okay? So you're supposed to try. And then when they say I'm busy, you're supposed to back off gracefully and come back again persistently in a graceful way. Okay? That's the game. A good teacher is busy. And we have to be sensitive, but we have to keep trying. You have to be persistent. Okay? I was very persistent with my teacher. I've always been persistent. Sometimes they call me Mr. Persistent. Okay? I never quit. You know, I get to see Lama on Sunday, and I say, what are you doing on Monday? You know, what's up Monday morning? Am I cooking breakfast? You know, they're like, we just had dinner, you know. We're not done with dinner yet. I'm like, yeah, we're not breakfast. So dan tune, shu gubale, ran la kap khang jing ki, hamba dan, ran she jing ni yin. Then don't be so arrogant as to try to schedule your lama's time, okay? You can come on this day, but you can't come on this day. Don't be so arrogant as to ask for a teaching or something like an ordination and try to schedule the Lama's the day before the Lama. This would be a convenient day for me. You know? And that's, he calls Hamba. Hamba means arrogant. Okay? That's just a kind of arrogance. Okay? Rang Sheje Minyin. It's not up to you, it's up to them. This is maybe a good place to end, but it's kind of sad. Okay. Mun geshe potoa, utu ka kang guntu, sura mambo jikbe, u nyokne. Okay, there was a teacher named, he was a geshe, the old geshe, right? Potoa. He was one of the early kadamas, potoa. He was in the time of, Langri Tamba, Dorje Senbi. Okay? And he said, he was teaching a place called, Dukkha Kagang Monastery in Upper U State, north of Lhasa. Okay? Sura Mambo Jigpa, he had taught for many days and put out a lot of effort, so he was exhausted. Okay? Then Unyok, you get this thing, if you teach for a bunch of days in a row, you get this kind of dull headache, okay? It's called unyok. It's a word for it. Okay? Unyok means, because you put out so much prana, right? And you're just exhausted and you get this kind of like, dull headache that doesn't go away for a while. Unyok ne, he got it. Shubek up. Ni shiki chu shubek. Then somebody came up to him and said, would you teach me? I need to ask you a question. Okay? Geshe pa tu gyal sheng tu ki yar sheng ne. He jumped up and chased the person down the street. Okay? Like with a stick. You know? Like I've been teaching like a week in a row, Your timing should be more sensitive. Okay? Like, also, you're more likely to succeed, right? If they look fresh or they just got there, then ask them then. Okay? So he's like, it says here, tu gyal sheng tu, tu gyal, his holy heart gave the appearance of rising. His holy heart gave the appearance of rising. It means, it looked like he was pissed off. But they don't use language like that about a lama. They say like his holy heart rose. Okay? It's an honorific language. There's a different language for high lamas. Shingne Gobo Chuma Yinbe. Dula Kepa Go. What's Kepa mean? Kepa. What's a Kepa? master. Okay? He says, you should be a master at two. You should be a master at knowing the right time with your lama. Okay? And you get to know your lama, especially your heart lama, right? You know the times when you should ask for something. And you know the times when you shouldn't ask for something. You know they're busy, or they're visiting somebody in the hospital, or, you know, they're trying to save the Sri retreat from bankruptcy, and they spend all night sending emails. And then you should be able to look at your heart teacher especially, and then you should be able to look at their face and know whether that's a good time or not. That's kepa, about two. That's to be skilled in knowing the right time to ask for something. Okay? I think that's a good place to end, okay? I think that's a good place. Nah, that's still a little bit. How long do you think? 10 minutes? Okay. Who? They're here already?
Yeah, but would it be
do they want to?
I think they're going to invite them in, but you're doing closing. Sure.
I don't think it's a good time. Because we're going to do long, boring thank yous, and I think they'll get a wrong impression in the class. So okay, anyway. Kurti Chepani Chart. It's okay if they come. Can you tell them? Tell them it's okay. If they learn, okay. Kurti Mishishipa. Vishi. Kurti Chepani Chartam Dhamma Sokta Sishuni. Kurti means it's traditional before a class to do Chaksal. Okay, Chaksal means to bow to the teacher. You can do a Japanese bow, you can do an American bow, you can do a full Tibetan bow, sit down on the floor. It doesn't matter, okay? It doesn't. We'll get to that subject later, okay? You should acknowledge the teacher in some graceful, beautiful way, okay? The word for bow in Tibetan is chatsal. It means to seek a gift, a spiritual gift from the hand of the master. To bow is called seeking a spiritual gift from the hand of the master. It's not called bow. Okay, it's a beautiful word, and it means you should acknowledge the teacher's entrance. Okay, it's traditional, and you should. Dhamma means we should stand when the teacher comes in, and we should stand when the teacher leaves, as a matter of respect. Okay. I got to Dantō, I was confused. I thought it would be more respectful to sit down, you know, somehow, than to stand over the teacher. And then I got yelled at for that. They said, you have to get up when the teacher comes. Okay. Again, it's not some cult thing or some Asian thing. These are sweet, beautiful traditions that are almost 3,000 years old. And if you learn them, it'll make you happy. You will feel like you're part of an ancient sacred lineage, okay? Rather than, you know, I, Geshe-la, or something like that. It's not for me. I don't care. I feel the same either way. It's even more trouble, you know, to have people making a fuss. But you should make a fuss about your teacher. This is the place in the scripture where I'm supposed to tell you the truth. Should make a fuss about your teacher. You should treat them like somebody special, because they are. Okay. Alright. In the old days you would wash their feet, okay? In Arizona it's kind of out of fashion, I think. Jesus washed the feet of his disciples as an act of humility, right? So it was a custom in ancient times. Before roads and before sidewalks, your feet were always caked with mud, and it was a tradition to wash the feet of people as they came. So some of my students tried to do it. It was just cold and uncomfortable. And I'm not suggesting you do it. But just to show, I'm kind of more into affection than respect. Respect sometimes seems a little strained to me. Like somebody will get up in class and bow to you and all this, and then send you a nasty email or something. You know what I mean? Like, I would rather, I think in our cultural context, to hug each other or to smile at each other or to help each other or to share a cup of hot chocolate. To feed each other, I think these are all more beautiful. These are the way in our culture. I think affection in our culture is the equivalent of respect. I would much rather feel in a room a huge wave of affection go through the room for all of us together. I don't trust people who claim to be affectionate for me. And are not affectionate to the other students in the class. They reserve their affection for the teacher. I don't trust those kind of people. They always flip later. I feel much more comfortable around people who show me respect and affection, and also show affection to all the other students. Because if they're constantly bickering with some of the students, and then they turn around and bow to me with these big, you know, and they give me $100 or something, I don't trust that kind of people. Sooner or later, they will treat me like the way they're treating their other students, right? I only feel comfortable around people who are being affectionate to everybody. Okay? What was something? Mitoa ni, lame char dupa la mitoa. Mitoa, this is delicate, okay? Then we'll start. The Lama asks you to do something, never show up, you know, just say yes, Lama, you know, smile and say yes, Lama, okay? And then do it well and do it happily, okay? And I'm talking to you from 30 years of experience living with Ken Rinpoche and his demands on me. I had to pay for everything. And I had to pay for his house. And I had to go to work to make the money, you know. And then I had to pay for all his students. And then I had to raise all the money for all the monks. And he put huge demands on me. And I didn't want to do some of them, you know. And he'd say, go out and water the flowers for 2 hours. And I'm like, Rinpoche, I didn't come here to water flowers. I came here to study Prajnaparamita, you know. And then he'd say, well, I'm not talking to you in Tibetan anymore. But I will talk to Art in Tibetan. You know, that went on for like 10 years. You know, and, you know, you can't show a grumpy face when the Lama asks you to do something, right? What will happen is that the Lama will stop asking you to do something, okay? If it's like pulling teeth to get someone to do something that you want, then sooner or later you're just going to tell that person, look, you know, I don't want to inconvenience you. I don't want you to be unhappy, so I'll have someone else do that for me, okay? So you're just kind of going to lose every job you want if you don't do it with grace and happily. It just should be, transparent, right? Ascertain what Lama wants and get it done, and they don't need to know how you did it. And I do that with Lama, with my teacher. I constantly fulfilling needs of theirs that they don't even know about. I paid Rinpoche's bills for like 20 years. He never saw a bill. He didn't know he had bills. You know? Like that. He never saw a phone bill or, I guess he thought everything was free or something. You know? And, do it with joy, okay? If you're gonna do the Lama thing, do it with joy. If you can't do it with joy, then wait until some other time when you can do it with joy. Okay? Don't like, say you're gonna do the Lama thing and then live in a state of schizophrenia where you're constantly refusing to do things or you're not happy about doing things or like that, okay? Then in that case, then wait until you find a lama that you can serve happily. Okay? I'm actually quite happy with all my students. Like, I've been lucky, right? Or I swear. I'm very lucky among Western teachers, you know, that I see. My lama's always remarking that, you know, I have extraordinary students who take care of me and do everything. You know, I have hundreds of people I can count on. If I need something, or, you know, if I need something done, there are hundreds of people I can ask, and they do it, you know. So I'm not saying this for my own, I'm very lucky, you know, I'm very happy with my students. Very fortunate, right? But then, you have to train the grandkids, right? To treat you properly, okay? Alright, and that's why I'm going to this. Okay. Let's do a mandala there. Okay. And then I'd like to thank all the people who worked. So I'd ask Rebecca to, who's the organizer of this event, to get up. Rosa. Okay.